is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor. Inflation. I welcome Liz Peek, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment on inflation, not just starting in the U.S., going to Europe, because there are burning headlines on the front page of the Financial Times that are threatening to all of Europe, but especially Germany, that just formed a new government. The headline, record Eurozone inflation of 4.9% puts pressure on European Central Bank. Anxiety grows, reports the Financial Times, over central bank policies as consumer prices continue to rise. Driven by soaring energy prices, reads the column, the increase in Eurozone inflation, as measured by the Harmonized Index of Consumer Prices, outstripped the 4.5% expected on average by economists. The rise is likely to put more pressure on the European Central Bank to reduce its monetary stimulus. Liz, it's as if Europe is listening to us, or perhaps we're listening to Europe. Was this expected on Wall Street, that Europe was already out of control? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think the answer is it has been apparent for some time that the EU and the United States are joined at the hip in terms of monetary policy and fiscal policy. They actually, most of the countries in Europe have not had the ability or the willingness or the EU's go ahead to spend as much on fiscal stimulus as we have here in the United States. But their one measure of money in the Eurozone is up almost 8% year over year, John. And most people think that there's a pretty good correlation between money supply growth and inflation. I mean, ultimately, what is inflation? It is basically too much money chasing too few goods. That's almost becoming a cliche now because it's been repeated so often. But in effect, that is exactly right. If there's so much money out there and a limited amount of goods to put to use it on, basically prices are going to go up. And that's basically what you've seen. What is a little alarming is that the European numbers and the U.S. numbers appear to be accelerating. So Chairman Powell, Jay Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve Board, was just being quizzed by a group of senators on the banking committee about his outlook for inflation. And he says, well, you know, next year we're pretty sure it'll start moving back towards our target, which is around 2%. But in fact, there's absolutely no indication that that's even close to happening right now. And in fact, one of the more alarming numbers I saw just in the last day is that Amazon, prices on Amazon in October were up 7.5%. I almost think of Amazon as being a reflection of the overall economy. If prices are up 7.5% on Amazon, my guess is our CPI numbers are going to get worse before they get better. The one thing I would say in Powell's defense is that there are some companies beginning to reflect improvements in the supply chain. I think it is Walmart. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Walmart today in the Journal or the FT that was talking about fewer cargo ships being lined up, I guess, that were servicing their orders, and how some of that bottleneck appears to be resolving. That would be great news, certainly in terms of the flow of goods and the transportation cost of goods and so forth. The problem is now the big inflation booster has become labor. And I almost laughed out loud listening to the Senate committee, because one Democrat senator, and I can't remember which one it was talking about that, talking about the labor shortage, the fact that participation hasn't gone up, the labor participation rate. And that's been quite discouraging coming out of this pandemic shutdown. So he was asking Powell about that. But in the very next question, he asked, he was extolling or congratulating Treasury Secretary Yellen for more broadly dispersing rent moratorium money. In other words, they're still handing out money to people who can't afford to pay their rent, which is just one of several reasons that people don't feel compelled to go back into the labor force. I mean, honestly, it was such a sort of head-turning moment, and I don't know if he doesn't connect the dots or if he just feels like, you know, he can put that out there and no one's really going to kind of say to him, well, don't you understand that all these benefits that were authorized by first of all, the rescue plan, the CARES Act, and then the American Rescue Plan this year, the $1.9 trillion, which really and truly came after it was needed and was not needed. Don't you understand that all those benefits, which were detailed, by the way, again today in the Wall Street Journal, are really causing people, are allowing people to make above national median income and not work? I mean, that, you know, guess what? People aren't stupid. If they can do that, if they figure they're going to go back to a low wage job and not do any better than they are staying at home and collecting all these benefits, that's what they're
doing. I note this comment in the Financial Times. It sounds exactly like what you were saying about Chairman Powell saying it'll abate next year. Listen to this. Charles Hepworth, an investment director at GAM Investments. It may be wishful thinking on the part of the ECB president, Christine Lagarde, when she declares that price pressures won't run out of control. They already are, and it's difficult to follow the argument that it will abate soon. This is Europe talking. It could be us. What part of out of control do the central bankers not understand, Liz? Do they not live in the world we live? We can see it.
Number one, they don't live in the world that a lot of people live in, who are really concerned about, for example, gasoline prices. But the answer is, I think they're behind the curve. I think they know it. Remember, Europe was very quick to go to negative interest rates. And I think they're just, Europe is ponderous. And even though they made that jump pretty quickly, I think it's just taking them a long time to kind of acknowledge where we are now. And by the way, Europeans had a sort of major wake-up call in August and September when energy prices went through the roof. So, I mean, they had one component, pretty big component, of their cost of living that went skyrocketing.
Yes.
Much more than, I mean, we're all complaining about 50% gasoline prices. I'm talking about natural gas prices and electricity prices that went up double or threefold in the UK and on the continent.
The report from Scotland is six times higher natural gas
for heating
homes in Scotland.
Exactly.
And
so you would have thought, the problem is, look, central bankers are trying to sort of weigh what they view as sort of a temporary problem on pricing, which is turning out not to be temporary, with the fact that they don't want to undermine the recovery in their countries. And of course, the continued in Europe now in particular, they have a big surge in cases having nothing to do with Omicron, but only to do with the fact that, you know, it's getting to be winter again. People are indoors, not everyone's vaccinated, and they have a big surge in cases again, particularly in Germany. So they really, it's a fine line they're trying to walk. But the answer is, they at some point we have to take financial responsibility more important, perhaps putting that ahead of these sort of outbreaks, not terribly lethal outbreaks of the virus, and decide that the financial sustainability of all these countries, including our own, has to endure. I mean, we can't continue to spend trillions of dollars or hundreds of billions of dollars in the case of European countries and promote inflation, which is just undermining everything. I mean, they have to get their priorities straight, and they've got to change their priorities.
Liz, you've taught me that the markets care a great deal about perception, not facts. They buy the rumor, they sell the fact, is the old verb, a version of that. Right now, the markets are watching the central bankers. They're watching Lagarde, they're watching Powell, they're watching the nominations of Lael Brainard. Those nominations all suggest more dovishness. Therefore, there's no reason to expect there's going to be relief. Can we say at this point that the federal bankers are too late? Or can they start tightening? Would that actually answer? Or are we going to have to wait until next year before they tighten?
Well, you know, they already are, in a sense, in terms of the Fed, they're already drawing down or tapering down their bond buying program. And I believe I heard Powell say, which may account for the fact that the market, I believe, is down now, that they might accelerate that. I think most people think he's too late, he's too slow. I think Powell is beginning to think that too. But, you know, let's face it, people are human, and Powell faced this whole contest for whether or not he was going to be renominated. he didn't want to rain on the party and then have Biden say, well, gosh, he can't be the guy that gets us, you know, who leads us forward to build back better. Unfortunately, all these people have, you know, conflicting impulses. Powell knows better. He knows we're behind the curve. But on the other hand, he was calling for Congress to up their fiscal stimulus for a better part of a year. And so I think he's been reluctant to turn around and say, well, wait, stop the spending, because we, you know, we can see that that's really unsettling markets and driving prices higher. And then he had a problem because he wanted to continue on in his job. And Biden wanted somebody in that post who was going to say, yeah, we have to continue spending on Build Back Better. And by the way, it's totally paid for. I just heard both Powell and Yellen, and I'm pretty sure Powell said these exact words, but Yellen said them three times, that Build Back Better is fully paid for. That's just simply not true. And I'm actually embarrassed for her that she has gone out on a limb to defend that kind of ridiculous comment when the CBO and many other groups have analyzed it and concluded, some have concluded the price tag is actually $5 trillion. Most people have concluded, at best, it's several hundred billion dollars more in debt. So, you know, shame on them, and shame on them for trying to placate a president who's trying to placate a Democratic minority of progressives. I mean, it's just, it's an unhappy chain of responsibility right now.
There is a new player on the field, and when we come back, this comment from Germany's incoming finance minister, Christian Lindner, who represents no deficit spending and tax cutting. But this remark that, quote, inflation gives rise to legitimate concerns. In the case of currency devaluation, we'll observe how it develops after the pandemic. There is no after the pandemic for the foreseeable future. Liz Peek of The Hill, a columnist of Fox News, a columnist much on Fox Business. And when we come back, that player that hangs behind us like the shadow, Omicron. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.